Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we learn the halachas of Tevilas Kelim, of immersing new vessels that a person buys. This is Siman Lamed Zayin, the 37th chapter in the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. This is a very important halacha which applies itself very, very many times in our lives. So we're going to look at four basic concepts. That is, what requires tefillah. Number two is ownership. Number three, types of vessels. And number four, the immersion process itself. Let's start at the beginning. The background to this is the Torah tells us in Parshas Matos that when the nation of Israel as a whole make their first conquest of another nation, that's the Midianites, the beginning of Parshas Matos, after the battle they bring back the spoils and Hashem tells them a choik. He tells Elazar HaKohen, who has replaced Aaron, he tells them, Zois chukas haTorah shitzu Hashem es Moshe. This is a statute, meaning it's a non-explicable law, and that is that the things that you bring back, so whether it's Zahav, whether it's Kesef, whether it's Nechoshes, whether Barzel, Bedil, or Ephorus, different types of metals, anything which goes through fire needs to be purified through fire. So it needs to be purified in water or fire, as well, and cleansed in water. So this refers to two different types of mitzvahs. One is called kashering, and the other one is tefillas kelim. Kashering is when I have a treif vessel belonging to a non-Jew, it was used by a non-Jew, then it needs to be kashered, whether it's through direct heat or through boiling water. That's kashering. We'll get to that later on. But we're now talking about the other aspect, which is that it needs to be toveled. Toveled is not kashering it. Most people can conflate the two. The pasuk puts the two together. But it is really referring to a process, a ritual process of bringing it to a mikveh, not to remove the non-kosher taste, but this is a chok, this is a statute in the Torah, that before it can be used by a Jew, it needs to go through the process of mikveh. Let's look at a few basic questions. Number one is, do new and old vessels require tefillah? The answer is yes. If they're made by a non-Jew, and never, whether they were used or not used by the non-Jew, they require tefillah when coming into a Jew's possession. What materials need tefillah? So from the Torah, it's clear that it's only metals. It gave examples of six metals. But midrabbanan, rabbinically, anything which is glass as well is required tefillah. So what about wood? So wood does not require tefillah, of course, unless they have a section. Let's say they have bands, which are metal, which are exposed to the food, then it's a problem. Or not a problem, it requires tefillah. What about clay? So clay does not require mikvah unless it's coated. The example the Kitzur says is coated with lead. So in those days, they used to lead coat their vessels, obviously extremely unhealthy. Today, a lot of glaze is done with glass. That would require tefillah without a bracha. So what about porcelain? So porcelain, technically speaking, would not require tefillah, but if it's glazed inside then and outside, then it requires tefillah without a bracha, which is many times the case. What about china? So generally speaking, china is glazed inside and outside, therefore it requires tefillah without a bracha. Some poskim are more makil on the china, and certainly if it's not glazed. What about ceramics, like mugs? So ceramics does not require tefillah. And there's many, many different permutations. The CRC has an extensive list of what requires and doesn't require tefillah. Based on this, there are sometimes little differences when it comes to the psak halacha. Let's go move to the second section, which is about ownership. So what happens if a Jew made a utensil? So then no tefillah is required. It's only if I'm, like in the case of the Battle of Midian, I'm buying it or taking it from a non-Jew, that's when it requires tefillah as well. So you can think about the situation is, let's say a person goes to Israel and buys a new Kiddush cup from Geula. Many times they're made by Jewish artisans that would not require tefillah's kelim. What if the vessel I'm buying was used by a non-Jew and also requires kashering? So let's say I'm buying something which actually was used. In that case, it needs to be kashered before it's toveled. Okay, so it's inappropriate to take it to a mikveh before it was actually kashered to make it kosher. What if I'm renting vessels used by from a non-Jew? So then, in this case, let's say it's an agency which rents out, tableware, and I'm renting out from them. In that case, if it's a non-Jew, it doesn't require tefillah because it's still owned by the non-Jew. What happens if I'm renting vessels from a Jew? In that case, it requires tefillah without a bracha. The assumption is that the Jew that they are made by a non-Jew. The Jew owns them but didn't do the tefillah because he doesn't use them. He's just renting them out. In that case, you should do tefillah, but notify the person who, the agency or the person who is renting them out to you, and they will let other people know that they've been toveled here on inwards. What if I'm in a Jewish establishment and I found out that the vessels were not toveled? So one should not eat there. That's the first way to do it. Is you can't eat there. This is a mitzvah midoraisa, and one is not allowed to use vessels which are not toveled if they're bought from a non-Jew by a Jew and they're not toveled. But if I'm in a situation where I cannot get out of it, so I realize in that situation I have to be there. There's nothing else I can do. In that situation, one can be makel with solid foods which don't require the plate. Any liquids is a problem. And this is cold or hot. What if I'm a Jewish glass factory owner, but I have non-Jewish employees on the who are working on the production line? Is that considered Jewish created or non-Jewish created? So if it is the old days where there was a production line and people were literally, you know, blowing the glass and doing everything piece by piece, then if the non-Jew is doing that, then in that case, tefillah would be required without a bracha. However, today, where most of the time it's machinery which is making it, even though it's non-Jewish activated, it's owned by a Jew, in this case, it does not require tefillah. What if a Jew gave a utensil to a non-Jew to fix, or gave, let's say, the material, let's say gave metal to a non-Jew to fashion into a utensil? In this case, tefillah is required without a bracha because the non-Jew is really essentially forming it or fixing it. A third concept is types of utensils. So first question is, do all utensils in the kitchen need tefillah? The answer is no, only ones which come into direct contact with food which can be eaten. So what about utensils which only touch food in its raw state? So in that case, you do not require tefillah for those situations. So let's say something is only touching raw dough as an example. Then in that case, it would not require tefillah. But wait a second, aren't pots always touching raw food? The answer is yes, but they also touch non-raw food because they cook it to the state of being edible. What about the shechita knife? It only touches the animal when it's meat, which is not edible. So that does require tefillah because it can be used to cut vegetables as an example. So therefore, it would require that. What about spits or grates for roasting? Those definitely require tefillah. So let's say one gets a new grill, one needs to take those grates to the mikveh. What about jugs or pitchers? So if they're plastic, no tefillah, because plastic does not require tefillah. But if it's glass, some say no tefillah because they aren't ever drunk from directly. Others say they still require tefillah. So generally speaking, one should take glass pitchers to the mikveh and not say a bracha, or do them after something else which does require bracha. What about spice grinders? So the metal part does need tefillah. What about a coffee grinder? So generally speaking, one cannot eat the raw grinds, so therefore it would be something which doesn't require a tefillah. However, being as sometimes the coffee grinder can use it for something else, then it does require tefillah. One should, if one is a machine which is only made for coffee and one never uses it elsewhere, maybe the different cogs may not require tefillah in that case. What about aluminium, or aluminum as it's said in America, pans? So if it's chad pami, if it's only used one time, that case does not require tefillah. However, if you're going to wash it and keep it, then it requires tefillah even for one usage. You cannot say, I'm going to use it once and then I'll tefillah later. That's not allowed. There's no one chance in this situation. What about electric or electronic equipment? It's a very important question. The kids doesn't deal with this because it wasn't around at that time. Anything which is electric, so something you just plug in, it switches on, there's a light, it's on, and that's it. There's no screen, there's no digital circuit boards in it, can be toveled and should be toveled, and they won't break. So for instance, a kettle, a toaster, a panini maker, a Betty Crocker, a Foreman grill, all these things can be put into the mikveh, even though they say they shouldn't, and you can dry them off, let them dry in a dry, warm place for 3 days, and they are fine. All of our utensils as such went through the mikveh and are completely fine and are workable. However, electronic is a problem, because electronic has circuit boards inside them, and if they're exposed to water, they will break and not be able to recover in many situations. So what do one do? There's three possibilities. Some parts can say that electronics, which will always be broken, since there's no way to tovel them, that they do not require tefillah. Of course, one needs to remove the parts that can be removed to take them to tovel. The other perspective is that one should take out a component. So open up the backboard, take out a component which would break it and replace it, because then it'll be finished by a Jew. It'll be like the Jew is involved in the construction process. Just remember, if you're removing something which is going to break it, you may not be able to fix it, so do it carefully. And the third possibility is wait until it snows. Then you can tovel it in the snow, and that's completely fine if it's sufficient amount of snow. And it will not break the machine as well. Finally, last topic we're going to look at is immersion itself. Where may they be taken for the mikveh? So it needs to be a flowing spring or mikveh, which is fit for mikveh midoraisa, which means a woman's mikveh, and then and that is a kosher mikveh. What about rivers? So rivers are generally fine unless it's just after the rain or snow melts, because then there's going to be more zeichlim, which is running water, which is a problem and will not be good. Is there a bracha on mikveh? Answer is yes, of course. Asher kiddushanu mitzvot tzivanu. You command us in your commandments and command us al tefilas keli on the immersion of a vessel. If you're doing more than one, it's tefilas kelim on the immersion of many vessels. What do I do about stickers? So stickers or rust or dirt needs to be removed before one does the mikveh. One didn't remove it, it doesn't count. So if one comes back from the mikveh and there's a sticker on it, it's a problem. If you're in a kosher restaurant and you feel the bottom of the plate and there's a sticker on it, it probably means that they didn't kosher, they didn't tovel the vessels. That's a problem. You should tell management, because if there's a sticker on a vessel, it wasn't toveled. And even if it was, it doesn't count. What about discoloration? So there's discoloration that is not just on the surface, but it's inside and you can't remove it. That is not a problem and can be toveled as such. Can I do tefillah? In part, no. It must be in one dunk. The entire vessel must be subsumed in water inside and out for this to work. What about the handle? Handle included. Even though the handle is not touching the food, the handle needs to be under the water at the same time as the rest of it. If it must be covered on all sides, how can I hold it? Surely my hand is preventing the water touching the area that I'm holding. The answer is either take your hand, wet it beforehand and hold it lightly, or pass it from hand to hand underneath the water, and then there's going to be a moment in time where it's completely surrounded by water. What if I need to lower it into a water pit? So remember, in the old days, you wouldn't just have these convenient mikvahs every two blocks. You would have to like go to a well and lower it in. So I'd use a little rope to lower it in. So you need to make sure that the rope is not tied too tightly so it doesn't act as a obstruction for the water. What about narrow-necked vessels or utensils? In that case, you need to make sure that you put it in such a way that all the air goes out and it's touched by water in all sides. Can a minor do tefillah, somebody who's below bar or bat mitzvah? Technically speaking, yes, but it's not. This is a mitzvah midoraisa. One should not allow them to do it. One cannot send them to the mikveh by themselves unless they are supervised by an adult. They can report that they saw a mikveh being done, but they cannot do it themselves without supervision. What happens if I need to to tovel a utensil on Shabbos, and it has come Shabbos already, and I did not take it to the mikveh? So this is a problem because taking it to mikveh is on Shabbos or on Yom Tov is a problem of metakein mone, of fixing a kli, because it's now not usable and now it is being usable. There's no one chance. Some people have this misnomer that I can use it once. That's not the case. So what do I do? So either I need to put that aside and not use it, or I can give it to a non-Jew and then ask to borrow it from them, because then it's non-Jewish owned. That's obviously a little tricky if one's doing this sincerely and intellectually, honestly. However, if it is a pitcher which is used to hold water, one could walk over to the mikveh, if it's walkable, of course, and fill it up with water and then use that water, because it looks like one is using it just to get water as opposed to doing the mikveh for it. Very fascinating topic, obviously many more questions, but a general overview of something which has incredible relevance in our lives. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.